I'm talking today about Noah's Ark, a global game changer. There are some remarkable similarities between the event of Noah's Ark in the time of the flood and this time of the novel coronavirus and the global pandemic that has us all shut in. It's called novel, which means new, just like the flood that had never been seen before. And so when this happens, it means that there is a time of change, something that we have to get used to that we've not seen before. And God's answer in the time of the flood was to say to Noah, make yourself an ark. This is in Genesis chapter 6. And you will go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you will bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, and you shall take for yourself all kinds of food, and you'll gather it to yourself, and it will be food for you and for them. And Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now Noah's Ark is a story of people being saved from worldwide disaster, a flood that lasted for many months, 5 months in fact, 150 days, it says in the Bible. And it finished off the life and culture of that world at the time in order to bring a new world into being, a new kind of life and culture. It was the end to former things and a beginning of new things, the global game changer. We're in the midst of a global event where certain emerging new ways of life and culture, which are now perceived as temporary game-changing things, will become permanent realities in many, many aspects of our routine lives, like working from home, our banking, finance, education, and even church, maybe in particular, even church. And as far as global game-changing is concerned, there is an amazing spirit code message, the number 120. It's hidden in a comment that God makes as he speaks to Noah about the ark when he looked at the things going on in the earth and decided he was going to stop things happening the way they were and prepare the world for a new way for life to happen. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not contend with man forever, for his heart is totally self-centered, so his days shall be 120 years, the number 120. Now that number 120 is not talking about what the span of human life is going to be. It is talking about how long Noah has to prepare an ark before the game-changing event occurs that marks the end of things being done man's way, in their self-centered way, and beginning to be done God's way. The end of former things and a beginning of new things. Building an ark is now the biggest and greatest project in our lives. But we need to know what it means and how it's done. So this first specific mention of the number 120 in the Bible always signifies the old passing away and the new emerging. And there are two very significant further mentions of the 120 code. The next time it's mentioned was about Moses, who was 120 years old when he died. It's in Deuteronomy 34. And his end of life age pointed forward to the rule of life under the law coming to an end and a new rule of life that would emerge in due course. The game-changing message here is that the new thing would be life under the rule of the Spirit of God, not under the law. Now the next mention, 120, is in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And it's when the disciples are gathered together in the upper room. There are 120 Jewish disciples living under the Jewish law in an upper room of prayer when the world at that time, as they prayed, was visited with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the rain of the Holy Spirit came down. This was the first outpouring of this raining of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And humanity was now able to live a life guided by the Spirit of God and not just their own understanding. We're living in a number 120 moment in the earth today. New things are going to come to pass, and we will be doing things in a new way that we haven't done before. It's no good my trying to guess what they will be, but they'll be done God's way and not our way. And we will experience a time of letting go of the old and embracing the new living way that's waiting for us to walk in, however that may be. The ark was a place of safety in a time of disaster and destruction, a flood, a global crisis, and the ark was where you had to go and had to be to preserve your life. So what kind of life are we talking about preserving in our current situation? Well, we're all doing the best we can to observe the life-saving protocols of the lockdown, shut-in life in our homes for as long as we have to. It is in us as human beings to want to preserve that and everything that goes with it, the outward form of things. But there are some outward forms of things we're learning to have to let go of, and that is hard and often sad and perplexing to see them pass away. And that's causing much grief and a sense of loss. We're finding ourselves coming closer together, though, even in our social distancing, through our faith and our love for one another. That brings me to the inner life, and that is where we can build the real ark and preserve the things that do not pass away but are eternal. Letting go of outward things that pass can keep alive the inner things that last. So Noah's Ark has lessons for us in finding the wisdom for safeguarding both inner and outer things in our lives. We might lose some things of our outer life in this crisis, but the things that we lose might help us to gain some inner things in our lives that we need to live. Some things in our lives may have to die so that other things might live. So how does this make for yourselves an ark compared to the current coronavirus disaster that we're experiencing at this moment? Well, Noah was told to prepare for something that he had never seen before, rain. There is no mention of rain on the earth till this time. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." So how could Noah prepare to survive and overcome something that he didn't even know existed? He had never seen rain. It had never occurred. So why prepare for something that was called a flood that had never even existed either? How do we prepare for something today that we didn't even know existed? We can hear Noah saying to God after he was commanded to build an ark, "Lord, could you tell me what an ark does? Honestly, don't think we need one." God was not going to teach him about what a flood was or how to predict rain. And we can hear God replying, "This is not the time for me to teach you about weather forecasts, Noah. Just build an ark." So COVID-19 is called the novel, the new coronavirus. Never been seen before. Therefore, there's no vaccine, so no defense. There's no treatment, so there's no cure as such at this time, except for the protocols of lockdown. So what do? You build an ark. That is what you are on the earth for now, at this time. There are outward things you and I are doing now that are different to what they were. We've already started to see this come into effect. There are things that are different, and they're difficult. If we're taking the good advice from the authorized experts who are responsible and caring, and not only the Facebook posts, we can actually be, in our wisdom, able to get through this situation physically. So we listen carefully, and we try to get it right. But how do we let go of the things, the past? What about the things that in doing all of that, which is right to do and wise, how do we cope with the fact that there's lots of things we can't do? We don't have anymore the way they were. How do we let go of them? Well, mostly they're just going to cease to be and won't be there. So the only thing we cling to is the emotional attachment we have to wanting to have them still there or to get them back. Now, some of these things we will get back, and some maybe not, or they may be different. That's the meaning of that code 120. New things come and old things pass away, but the new thing is better and different and of God's Spirit. Many people in this time of crisis don't have their work and occupation or interaction with others that was their everyday life, at least not in the same way. And our hearts go out to each other in these things. We feel for one another all over the world in our common sense of loss and grief. None of us any longer has the freedom of movement and travel to and fro and gathering together, but yet we stay close. So let's move from the letting go of outward things that pass and get to keeping alive the inner things that last. That's our real ark. So how do we build an ark? This is the building of the inner place of refuge. The ark had three levels. You can read it in Genesis chapter 6. It speaks of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was told, make it of three levels, an upper, a middle, and lower level, like a huge cruise ship. I've never been on a cruise ship, but this is the kind of cruise ship. I believe that many of us have been seeking to travel our sea of life with God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to have this as our refuge. The upper level represents the Holy Spirit, as the Bible speaks of the dove being sent out across the waters from a window in the upper deck to see if there was any dry land. And the dove returned with an olive branch, a branch of inner stillness and peace. That dove was finally set free by Noah to fly through the skies. He's our freedom, gentle but powerful, and the giver of truth and love. The middle level represents Jesus, who joins us with the Father. Jesus is there, with us, in us, and as us, in everything around us, in everything that's happened. That's Jesus and us. He himself has been there in danger and in crisis in the life that he lived, and he always had the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him, and he always had the Father, in whose arms of love he could rest. He had the dove of the Holy Spirit descend upon him that led him out to do the things with the anointing of the power from heaven to do what the Father had set for him to do. So Jesus is our Noah's Ark experience in this calamity. He's our strength in our weakness. And the Father cradles us all from underneath as his children. I mentioned last week about our human need at this time, about knowing what to do. What do I do next? What do I not do? What is happening? Well, God is happening. God happens to us as the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's one scripture that sums it all up regarding building an ark and living the ark experience, and it speaks to us about the Holy Spirit, who helps us to know what to pray for in a time like this, because we don't even know what to ask. In Romans chapter 8, verse 25, it says, so likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who searches the hearts, that's Jesus, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, that's Jesus, makes intercession for the saints, that's us, according to the will of God. That's the Father, and Father always answers Jesus' prayer. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's how the scripture finishes. And being called according to his purpose is simply invited to share with him in the unfolding purpose that he has for our lives. You have the Holy Spirit to touch your feelings and to pray your prayer from within you, because you don't know what it is, but he's understanding everything about you, your personality, your particular perspective about things, the way that you react to the needs that you have. He knows all of that. And he's able to articulate that when you can't. And you have Jesus to take that to the Father so that your prayer is answered in the most powerful and caring way, in a supernatural dimension that is above all of our attempts to know or to understand the unknowable and the incomprehensibility of the things which are beyond our control. This is your ark. God knows the things you need, your health, your material provision, your hope in times of anxiety, your fear of the unknown. He knows these things, and he's quick to answer and to give you faith. So be conscious that this process is going on all the time. It's not just a matter of, well, now it's time to pray. So I think I will now ask the Holy Spirit to do this that he does so well. Yeah, we do that because there are times when we know it is time to pray. But the fact is, we can be conscious that this is happening all the time, and at any moment, at any time, we can become part of this four-way prayer meeting. And I say four-way because you've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. And all you need to do is simply know and believe that it's there. And then we can just begin to speak our thank yous to God. Every time fear or anxiety tries to wrestle this reality away from us. So make for yourselves an ark.
Go of my life, you give me yours. Lord Savior, I surrender.